Very, very good morning to you. We want to welcome you and are so excited to be in the house of the Lord today. It's such a joy to be part of a loving congregation, a supportive congregation, and we are so glad each of you are here today. Just have a few announcements. The Golden Age Dinner, if you can't smell that, is taking place after the service, so we're very excited for the Golden Age Dinner for those 60-plus to take place today, and we also just want to look forward to Wednesday. Guys, can you say Wednesday, 7 o'clock with me? That is when there's going to be a men's Bible study at 7 p.m., and we're going to be looking at the seven questions that rattle in the minds of most men. So guys, come on out to the pastor's office from 7 to 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. We want to highlight November 13th as we look ahead. There's going to be a food pantry collection, and non-perishable food items are very much appreciated to bless others during this season of the year. So November 13th, a food pantry collection. And we also want to look forward to next weekend from 8 to 1. It's our holiday bazaar. There'll be food, there'll be crafts, there'll be lots of entertainment and fellowship to be had by all. So come out between 8 and 1 next Saturday, the 5th of November, and enjoy our holiday bazaar. Are there any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? Whether this is your first time here this morning or whether you've been coming for, I think it would be 2,510 times if we calculate 50 years by 52 weeks in a year. So that's a lot of times you may have been here at Little Swatara. We appreciate that very much, and we love you all so much. Welcome here again to Little Swatara. Why don't we stand and greet one another, and then we'll join together in worship as we continue. So we have a lot of birthdays that are being celebrated, and I know when we get way up there in years, we tend to sing happy birthday, but we have a precious dear five-year-old that's going to be five tomorrow, and her name's Olivia. So can we sing happy birthday to Olivia this morning? She's going to be 5 years old tomorrow. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Olivia, and any others that are celebrating birthdays this week or this past week, we wish you a happy birthday as well. What a joyous day to be alive. Our opening hymn this morning is Come, Let Us All Unite to Sing. And there's such power in that word unity and power in that word singing, because we know this morning we are singing to our worship, our Creator, the Lord Jesus. Number 12 in your hymnals.
Thank you.
What a tremendous joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. He is indeed our joy, our strength, and our hope. It's that time where we come to our joys and concerns, and there's many joys among us. Carol Sanchez has been reunited with Pete and is back home, so we're very thankful for that and pray continued strength among her and among Pete as well. And I see Vera Gross is with us this morning, so we praise God that Vera is with us and able to recover from that mini stroke, and we're just so thankful for all God is doing in her life. So good to see so many familiar faces and new faces here this morning. Are there other joys or concerns you'd like to share?
I'd like us to pray for a young man.
Oh, it's on now. A young person, his name is Jacob. He's really struggling and coping with life.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Michael's stepfather, Demi Messina, is in Hershey currently undergoing stem cell treatment, so he'll be there for 2 to 3 weeks.
What was the name again?
Demi, D-I-M-E, Messina. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather here freely at Little Swatara. We can't help but to think, Father, there are those churches around the globe that are facing persecution. And we think of our EYN brothers and sisters and lift them up to you this morning. Father, we pray your continued protection over them. We pray that your peace would continue to go forth from their acts of service and their willingness to serve even their enemies. And we thank you, Father, for their example and what that could look like here in the States. But Father, we know there are hardships that we go through in life. We know there are struggles. We know there's pain that we deal with. And Father, we're just praying in the midst of that pain that we would seek you out and we would find your strength and we would find your comfort. And we just rejoice knowing Vera is here with us this morning. We rejoice knowing Carol's at home and so many others that have felt your touch. But we know the journey's not over. We know they continue to go through that recovery process. And we ask, Father, for you to go alongside each of them, to just continue to give them that encouragement, that we would also be near to them and help them know that there are people that care and that are praying. And we just thank you, God, for the list of prayer concerns and the new ones brought up this morning. We think of Jacob, who's dealing with life right now and finding it difficult to cope. I pray, Father, if he doesn't know you, he might come to know you. May he see the purpose that you have for his life, and may you give him the peace that he needs to experience. Father, be with Jacob now. May your spirit touch him in a powerful way. We think of Demi this morning and going through stem cell treatment, and Father, we ask that your hand would be upon him, that you would allow that treatment to go smoothly and allow him to feel your comfort and allow those stem cells to accomplish their purpose. And we just thank you, Father, for modern medicine and what it can accomplish in our lives. We thank you for Catherine Wenger and for Bruce Moore. And we thank you for Dorothy Murky and for Mia Hussman. We thank you for Ruth and John Hoover and Carl and Faye Boswell. We thank you for Carol and Pete Sanchez and Nolan Keeney and the Delp family. We think of Linda Ziegler and Lauren Cass and Mike Miller this morning, and so many others that are flooding our minds. We rejoice having Naomi with us this morning and are thankful for what you do in her family's life. And continue to impress upon us, Father, your love. But where there needs to be a healing touch, we pray that if it be your will, you would bring that healing. But Father, help us to know that you are our strength, that you're our encouragement, that you give us what we need to get through these hardships. May we realize that this life is just temporary. We're passing through and that heaven awaits. Thank you, Father, for our eternal place. But we know that as we're here, we make mistakes, we do things wrong, and we sin. So we come to you now humbly asking for your forgiveness that was paid for by your Son on the cross. So hear our prayers of confession and also hear our prayers upon our hearts. We rejoice, Father, knowing that there has been a way made that we can overcome this world, that we can conquer death, that we can believe upon your Son, Jesus Christ, and turn to him each and every day, striving to live like him, knowing that this life that we pass through, all the sorrow we go through, all the pain and hardships we endure, we know shall pass. But Father, we just rejoice too, knowing the joys among us. We think of those recently engaged and ask your blessing upon them as they near that wedding day. And we pray, Father, for married couples. We pray for families here today. We pray for single individuals here today and ask, Father, that your will would be done. We know that our hearts should beat like yours. We know that our lives should reflect yours. And we pray, Father, that it would be so. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it brings great joy and excitement every single week. I look at the bulletin and I see that mortgage balance continuing to go down. $49,005.85. December 31st is right around the corner, but I believe the Lord deserves a round of applause for what he's doing in the hearts of the people who are giving. So please give the Lord a round of applause and praise him in this moment. That is absolutely wonderful. And we look forward to celebrating that zero balance at the end of the year. It says, praise the one who hears the cry of the poor, who lifts up the weak and gives them strength. Praise the one who feeds the hungry and satisfies the longing of those in need. Praise the one who holds with tenderness the orphan and widow and gives the stranger a land and a home. And that one's name is Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you, Father, for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for this opportunity, this defining moment in our lives to give of ourselves And we know, Father, that you stir within us, that you cheerfully spur us on to provide abundantly for the needs of the church, the community, and the world. And we thank you, Father, for each giver. We thank you for what it means to be able to be an offering to you. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
Children, come join me up front. I want us to think about perfection today. Would any of you guys say you're perfect? I know I'm not perfect. What about your parents? Are they perfect? Are your grandparents perfect? Are your brothers perfect? Are your sisters perfect? Are any of them perfect? Is anybody perfect? There is really nobody in this world that is perfect. But there was a time when everything was perfect. It was called paradise. What do you think paradise would look like? Pretty stuff. Pretty stuff? What do you think it would smell like? Flowers? What do you think it would taste like? Bleh. What do you think it would sound like? Do you think there would be some birds chirping? Yeah? What do you think it would feel like? Would it feel perfect? Yes? This place called paradise, God created. It was known as the Garden of Eden. He created a perfect man and a perfect woman. Do any of you know their names? What are their names? Adam and Eve. When God finished creating this place, he called it very good. Not just good, very good. But then perfection ended. Do you guys remember what happened? No. What happened? Adam and Eve didn't have the opportunity. They disobeyed. sin entered the world. Adam and Eve made a choice. They listened to a crafty enemy, the serpent. And since then, the only perfect person to walk this earth was, do you guys know his name? What's his name?
Adam.
Jesus. He was without sin, but he lived here with us, those who do sin. Now we go through many hardships, but one day, paradise will be restored. Do you know what that place was called? Heaven. There will be no more pain, no more suffering. Sin will be gone once and for all. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited to enter that place. How about you guys? Yeah? Let's pray. God, we thank you that we have forgiveness. Through your Son, Jesus, our sins are erased. We believe and trust in you, that through the hardships, help us to know you, know peace. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for joining.
Have you ever had a dream? A dream so vivid, so vibrant, so stunning, it seemed like reality. We wake up dazed and confused, not even sure where we are. You know those dreams with total solace, complete and unending peace. The dreams that we never want to wake up from. I often dream of that life free from pain and hardship. I often dream of that place so beautiful words cannot begin to describe. Yet we've seen the words from Scripture that bring this place to life. You see, it's not a dream at all. It's a place you and I will one day inhabit in the presence of our Savior forever. When we start to think about the hardships of this life, it's difficult to wait. For many, it's a place that they long for. Each passing day, though, is a reminder of the joy that the Lord gives us to live for Him. You see, it makes a difference to know where we're heading. It's not like we're still wandering in the wilderness. We, friends, know our final destination. Heaven awaits the steadfast believer, the one who trusts in the Lord, the one who has given up control and has handed Jesus their life. Though each day has enough trouble of its own, we don't worry about tomorrow. We've already seen what God can do when we simply obey and walk in His ways. Now, that doesn't always ease the pain of our hardships, but in a great way, in a significant way, it does give us hope. We rest in this assurance that paradise one day shall be restored. This earth shall pass away, and a new heaven and a new earth will arise. That is what makes living this life worthwhile. Those dreams of freedom from any number of trials will pass. But have you ever wondered what it was like before sin? Before the fall, before the world as we see it today? I mean, Adam and Eve lived together in the Garden of Eden in complete harmony with their Creator. They walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. What was it like? They knew no pain. They knew no hardship. They didn't even know what death was. And the word suffer, they had no clue. They had everything. Perfect love, perfect joy, and perfect beauty. What was it like? We can't help but to think of that word paradise. An unfallen world without a desert, a wilderness, and not a single piece of unproductive land. Talk about a farmer's dream. Sinless man, wisely overseeing the earth's resources and living in harmony with one another. What was it like? Research tells us that the Garden of Eden would have been climatic. There would have been no need for rain. Genesis 2:6 confirms that. It says streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. And natural disasters? There was no such thing. Everything about God's creation would have been perfect. After all, Genesis 1:31, God pronounced it very good. And friends, believe you me, when God says very good, there's not a fault. There's not a flaw. There's not a defect. We can only imagine that perfect temperature, perfect humidity. Forget about heating systems. Forget about air conditioning. And pests or diseases, what were they? A mosquito bite? Unheard of. The common cold? What's that? Nothing would have detracted Adam and Eve from knowing God to the full. This, my friends, was the original paradise. No shame, no guilt. A life of total, and might I add, blissful innocence. A life God had originally intended. A life to which believers one day shall return. Now I want you to imagine that Charlie Brown, Lucy, and Linus are lying on the ground looking to the sky. Lucy says, if we use our imagination, we can see lots of things in the clouds. What do you see, Linus? He said, well, those clouds up there look like the map of the British Honduras on the Caribbean. And that cloud looks like the profile of Michelangelo, the painter and sculptor. And right there, that group of clouds gives me the impression of the stoning of Stephen. I can see the Apostle Paul standing there to one side. Lucy was in awe. That's amazing, Linus. Well, good old Charlie Brown, what do you see? And Charlie stood there for a while, silent, not sure what to say. And he said, well, I was going to say I saw a duck and a horse, but then I changed my mind. Have you ever looked into the skies? I'm convinced day in and day out, God is painting pictures for us. The psalm even wrote, I looked into the heavens and I saw God. He went on to say in chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. With all this beauty and splendor before us, there's reason to celebrate God amidst our hardships. As our scripture unfolds in Acts 14, we read of great hardship that Paul had faced. He was stoned and he was thought to have been left for dead. But the disciples gathered him and he got up and went back into the city. And that's where we pick up in Acts 14, verse 21. It reads, they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. And here's what they say next that is applicable then as it is today. It reads, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. The Greek here translates to mean many tribulations, many stresses, many pressures. This isn't the means of getting into the kingdom of God, but indicates the circumstances we'll face along the way. They're necessary, though if we're honest, not well accepted. You don't find too many people standing on the sidelines of life, raising their hand and saying, God, give me pain. God, add unto me more stress. Obviously, we realize they're going to happen, but it's in all the way we deal with them that matters. So essentially, in response to these hardships, Paul and Barnabas appoint elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. By now, in our lives, we've come to grips with the fact that we must go through hardships. But in those times, something very intriguing happens to us. We learn to trust God. We learn to put aside our fears. We learn to lean on one another. And in the process, we search for meaning. This by no means indicates we've got it all together in those times. There will be kicking and screaming. There will be complaining. Why me, God? Why me? But as our dependence falls upon the grace of God, we begin to see life differently, with a new perspective, a fresh outlook on what God is up to. I'll never forget that day. My brother and I were about to drive his 1994 single cab Ford Ranger with a stick shift to our cabin. As we entered into the truck, there was this empty box of cream-filled donuts on the seats. The look my brother gave me meant business. He thought for sure that I had ate his last donut and the battle began. I can only remember opening that truck door and walking away as my brother drove off. It must have got the best of him because before long he had turned around and made his way back for me. I went to his window and I said, "I'd already called Dad, he's on the way." And I remember him taking off in the opposite direction to make his way to our cabin. This was a road less traveled. And I remember him saying he looked on the floor because that empty box of donuts had made its way there. And he looked down against his better judgment and reached for them, trying to get that box out of the way of being able to shift. But when he looked back up, he had drifted off the road and he was heading toward a reflector, which we know indicates a hazard. Little did he know it would turn out to be a deep trench for a pipe that was crossing the road. At the speed he was going, he flipped his truck on the roof and traveled quite a distance before spinning around and landing facing the opposite direction on a bank. When we found him, he had forced his way out of a broken window. And the next thing I remember about that day is watching my brother pace back and forth in the cabin lawn, looking towards the sky, saying, "Why me? Why me? Why me?" The truck was later towed to the cabin, and we noticed two things. That side view mirror that he had grabbed hold of to escape through that window was polished by the grinding on the road, and there's no possible way his hand would not have been burned. But he escaped without injury. But the other thing we noticed that haunts me to this very day was the passenger side of that vehicle. It was the side that was smashed to the entire seat in which I would have been seated had I traveled with him that night. All over a box of donuts, which my father had actually eaten the last one. But I think we've all seen near-death experiences in our lives. We've seen God's fingerprint, and we've recognized that his hand has been upon us time and time again. We notice, as the poem goes on, that during the saddest and most troublesome times of our lives, there was only one set of footprints. We didn't always understand when we needed him most that he seemed to have left. But within that silent soul, he whispers, and he whispers to us today, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Many times, in our lives, we realize that God has carried us. In the moment, not everything made sense. It was like that vivid dream you woke up from and wonder where you are. What's happening? What's going to happen? What are we going to do now? We see in this fallen world that sin has certainly made a difference in the surroundings of Adam and Eve then. And sin has had a tremendous effect even now. With that curse upon the earth, there seems no way to escape its hardship until the Lord restores paradise. In the meantime, I encourage us, brothers and sisters, to live as free from sinning as you possibly can. I encourage us to walk in the light as our Lord Jesus is in the light. We should change the atmosphere around us. People should notice the difference when we walk into a room. For too long, We've experienced the shame and guilt of being unclean before a holy God. And we know deep down, the only way to deal with that sin is through trusting in the good news of our Lord and Savior. Whatever hardship you're enduring, trust God. Be that strength, be that encouragement for one another. And above all, stay true to the faith. Adam and Eve enjoyed a relationship unlike any other with God, not to mention with each other. It was unhindered by the destructive power of sin. I can't even begin to imagine what an amazing thing they experienced to think that they walked and talked with God. It's so hard not to break out in song right now. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. What wonderful news for us this morning. Friends, we are his own. No matter how dark your situation seems right now, there is a new life awaiting. There is surrender on the horizon. And as our scripture informs, we can stay there in that place for a long time in the presence of a loving God and fellow believers. But remember, there's still work to be done in those hardships. Adam was essentially told to tend the garden, and Eve was told to be his helper. As followers of Christ, it's a joy rather than a chore to keep ourselves in check. We should be like the soil of God's garden. There's so much the Lord wants to plant there in our lives if only we let him. Just think about those spiritual roses that add fragrance to someone's life. Imagine grapes that yield the wine of joy in the believer's life. But friends, it's not easy. It's going to take surrender. It's going to involve letting go, removing oneself from the hardship and allowing God to move. We're all too familiar with that word, control. We like knowing what's going to happen. But friends, whatever God desires in your garden of life, be willing to accept it. We have to remember that the fall brought about what? Thorns and thistles. Among them are still vibrant flowers. We'll continue to find them. But with God's help, those thorns and thistles will weed out and will grow further in patience, in wisdom, in trusting God. We see how Paul and Barnabas gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them. What would it look like if we, the church, shared among one another what God has been up to? I can picture this display of God sightings that renew us and spur us on toward living another day for Christ. There's just something contagious in seeing that fingerprint of God, that movement of the Holy Spirit. For those who trust Jesus as their Savior, the Bible is very clear. A new pre-fall Eden awaits us. A place called heaven for those who share in faith and live on purpose. Much like that of Eden, a paradise void of sin and its hardships. We know, as we trust him, we become, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, a new creation. The old passes away, the new comes. In the beginning, what was it like? What could it look like in our lives today? Such a world seems completely foreign to us, yet it's a reality as we live in the freedom Christ offers. In the hardships, we will not be afraid. When the wind howls, when the lightning flashes and even strikes, our God will not be moved. We have peace, dear friends, knowing God is present in our storm. Remember, with a spoken word, he calmed them. Be still, know that he is God. Be strong, be courageous, for the Lord our God is with us. Friends, he's our refuge, he's our strength, he's a very present help in times of trouble, for we know that in our weakness, he indeed is very strong. Whatever it takes, know that God's love never fails. Paradise awaits with each breath we take. Breathe in, breathe out the saving knowledge of Christ, in whose presence we shall be forever face to face. Let's pray. Father, we recognize the hardships of this life. We too know the joys that we celebrate. And Father, we take the balance of the two of them and we do our absolute best to be free from sinning. But Father, we too know in those hardships we get frustrated. We lose patience. And we're praying, Father, in this moment you would give us exactly what we need to carry on. To be able to see only one set of footprints. To know that you have carried us. So, Father, you know exactly what's happening in each of our lives. You know the hardships. You know the joys that we are celebrating. And we just come before you and we ask that we would be spurred on, that we would be encouraged to know that this life too shall pass and one day we'll spend eternity with you in heaven, free from any pain, free from any hardship. But for now, Lord, let us be faithful. Let us go through this life trusting you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please rise for our closing hymn, number 366. Just by the title, you can recognize the type of God that we serve, a God of grace and a God of glory.
Oh,
Father, we give you this life. We surrender our will to yours, and we ask that you would continue to move in our midst. May we find strength and encouragement. May we be courageous. May we be uplifted to go where you call each of us to go, to share the good news with one another, and to live in peace and harmony with one another. Amen and amen.